Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents A Coors Light. Fill your cup Friday with Clint Sterner and the show.
Yeah, ain't nothing better than to fill them cups up.
On a Friday, baby.
On a Friday, baby. Yes, right. Good weather. Beautiful day. And I'm going to fill mine up to a big three.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three, number one.
All right, the biggest story right now, we've had some fun with it. James Harden and Russell Westbrook did not make the flight with the Rockets to Orlando as they flew out yesterday, probably around 5:30 this time. They flew out yesterday. They did not make the flight. Clint, what are your concern levels?
It's high. It's very high. And the fact that we're living in the middle of a COVID-19 pandemic, and when guys don't report or guys don't show up, guys aren't on premise, that typically means that there's something going on, and you can't help, after dealing with this COVID-19 for 4 months, you can't help but sit here and go, man, that in the back of my mind, there's a good chance that one or all of the guys that didn't get on the plane yesterday either have COVID-19 or they are believed to have come in contact with someone that is tested positive. And so it's just one of them things where you cross your fingers, you hope and pray that that's not the case. But it's hard not to let your mind go there right now.
No, it's the natural thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's the absolute natural thing. And it's like those two players, you wouldn't be surprised if those two players were working out with each other or those two players were around each other a lot, working things out prior to getting there. Because we know, judging by the amount of weight that James Harden has lost, he's been busting his ass out there a ton. I guess... Yeah, we don't want to speculate. We don't know what's going on. There could be other reasons. Maybe they're just late. Maybe they got 60 items they're taking that couldn't fit on the plane and they wanted to be like P.J. Tucker taking shoes. But
I thought when I first heard it, I thought, well, them cats are out in L.A. probably. They're all coming from the same spot.
Yeah.
There wasn't no sense in with the travel issues. There wasn't any sense with them flying, leaving there, coming here, one hotbed to another. And then flying from Houston to another hotbed in Orlando just limit the number of stops. And so that's where my head went initially. That could still be the situation. Obviously, they don't have practice until Saturday. And so there's no need for those guys to be there until Saturday morning.
That's what I'm hoping.
So, obviously there's some hope. But boy, it's just like you said, the natural thing is for your mind to gravitate to, uh-oh, I hope these guys don't have that COVID-19. And if they do, you hope that they're healthy, they're asymptomatic, and they're fighting through it. And then once they get to the bubble, everything will be fine.
Yeah, don't know. It's just because it's so big. How many people have they been in contact with? Who have they been around? Other guys on the teams have they worked out with? It is an interesting thing. But I think the point that you made that is really nervous is those two had been in L.A. Those are the two have been in L.A. and they're the ones that didn't make the trip. It's an interesting thing. We will keep everyone updated on any kind of news we get on when Harden and Westbrook would arrive in Orlando or what that situation will be.
Big three at three, number two.
Damn, man, we can't get off of this. Big three at three because, Harden and Westbrook, now, they're the team for the Rockets.
Yeah.
But the Astros, two other really important players, have not arrived. Jose Urquidy? Yes! Come on!
You got it. Good work, baby.
I mean,
that's my guy.
Flinching. Didn't even think about it.
Boy's a professional.
Let's go. Look at that. I'm telling you, you give me 13 chances, I'll get it.
You finally get it.
I'll get that sucker. You give me 13, I'll get it.
I can't say nothing. I've been known to butcher a name. Hell, I'll butcher a three-letter word if you let me.
Okay. Jose Acuña. See, now I done messed it up.
What happened?
Jose Acuña.
Oh, see there? Hey, see?
I got too excited.
Man, come on, man. Keep between the lines,
and
baby.
Yordan Alvarez, they are still not back with the Astros in camp. And here is Dusty Baker with the latest.
Give us the a status update on Jose Urquidy. Is he with the team?
Well, no, he's not. You know, like the player has a condition that's preventing him from, you know, reporting to the field or, you know, participating in practice. As far as Yordan, you know, it's in the same situation. You know, like, you know, he's another guy that, you know, we can't say anything about other than, you know, he has a condition that's preventing him from reporting to the field.
Well, hell.
It's another one of those that I can't help but let my mind move towards. It's natural to let your mind move towards that other condition, that other C word, right? COVID-19. I hope it's not the case. I hope I'm dead wrong. But if it is, you know, prayers up for these cats to stay healthy and prayers up for them to get to Houston safely and get back to doing what they love, man. So Jose Urquidy is just one of those guys. I know Lance McCullers looked good yesterday. I know Justin Verlander looked good yesterday. Greinke, according to some folks, I know Dusty Baker hadn't seen much of him, but I think he's on schedule in terms of looking good and feeling strong at this point in time. But, man, that 4-5 hole in the rotation is going to be absolutely huge, man. It's always big. It's always important. But when everybody starts off with the same record, and there's 60 games to go, it's a lot different than 162 games for sure. And the Astros are going to need Jose Urquidy in that four spot in the rotation. So he's the one that I've got my eye on show. And I hope he gets back sooner rather than later because the Astros are going to need him.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know what's going on with Harden and Westbrook. But Dusty about damn near just said it. He's got a condition that's preventing him from being from the team. And Yordan has the same condition that's preventing him from being from the team. Well, hell. I tell you what, though. You said Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel. We talked about Zach Greinke. Adam Spolane tweeted earlier. He said it looks like Zach Greinke is going to throw this afternoon. Which, Dusty, come on. Dusty, if you're not there at 1 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, this ain't on Zach. This is a good time for you to be there to see him. Zach Greinke, and not only is he going to throw, he is actually going to face hitters and facing hitters today. So Zach Greinke's going to get some work. He has been seen. He has been sighted.
Hey, I've seen it. I saw a picture. I got tweeted a picture a little earlier.
I did too.
I got tweeted a picture a little earlier. Zach Greinke on the bump, standing on the rubber, nice and tall. You know he was a still picture, so I didn't get to see any video of it. But you know he was out there. I hope somebody didn't okey-doke me. I hope somebody didn't shoot me a picture
from
2019 season during warm-ups or something.
No, they Greinke wouldn't do that.
Hadn't really seen Greinke.
Ain't really seen Greinke.
You better have seen him today. Okay, Greinke came out this afternoon is what? Like they said, you know, Greinke comes at his own schedule in the morning. I can understand if Dusty's not at the park at 4 a.m. when it sounds like it's when Greinke comes up and gets his work done, allegedly. But now... 1-2 o'clock, Dusty, you better have seen Greinke today.
Greinke, hadn't really seen Greinke.
Well, that should stop now. That should stop now.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Big 3-3, and this is some news coming out of Major League Baseball. And, Clint, this does affect the Astros as well. The Giants catcher, the San Francisco Giants catcher, Buster Posey.
Oh, Busty.
Opts out.
Oh, Busty. He's a good old boy.
Busty. He was really good at Florida State. Buster Posey opts out of this 2020 MLB season, citing he just adopted newborns and his health concerns in terms of what he could bring to them is why he is not. They're premature is why he is opting out of the season. The Astros, the Giants are a team that they play, and he's their best player. Yeah. He's their best hitter. He's one of the best catchers, especially hitting catchers in baseball. And he is out, one for the reason of health concerns. And then this ain't a bad thing for the Astros. I'll just say that.
No, it ends up benefiting the Astros. But you know, I think the big thing here is you're going to hear people that are going to they're going to bash Buster Posey.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to football, basketball, baseball, the guys that that decide not to play. Oh, yeah, I get it. I get it. They're going to get hammered. There's no doubt about it.
You think people like his teammates in the locker room?
No, media on the outside? No, I just think it's going to be questioned through the media. I think the fan bases are the minute that the team doesn't play as well as they should, maybe even before that. I think he'll get banged on pretty good for not being there, not helping the team win. But ultimately, man, I think, like we heard J.J. Watt talk about it yesterday, to give the players that decide they're not going to play a hard time when it's health related is just uncalled for. It's unacceptable. And so I hope that doesn't become a problem for Buster Posey. It sounds like he's doing it for all the right reasons. I think he's got young kids of his own, and he just adopted newborn twins.
Newborn twins are premature.
Yeah, that are premature. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody's got a damn reason, Buster's got a few of them.
He's got a good reason. See, I wondered this dynamic because Buster is the latest, and he's a big-name player, but David Price, Ian Desmond. Like, see, I'd wonder if there's some guys in the locker room that's like, damn. Like, you know how important you are to this team.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some guys that are like, damn, yeah. I mean, I would be like, well, damn, Buster. But, I mean, you look at this situation and you go, okay, yeah, it's as far as it goes. I mean, yeah, it'd be hard not to sit around and go, it sure would be nice to have Buster at the plate right now. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard not to do that.
What are we doing here?
But I can't get mad at him, man. I can't get mad at him for making this decision.
No, you can't at all. Yeah, Buster Posey out for the San Francisco Giants. The catcher, as I said, that this impacts the Astros in a way because they have to play the Giants. And as I said, man, you look at their crew of the Western Division teams, the AL West and the NL West, they're pretty top heavy. The Dodgers are a really good team. We've heard the A's are a good team. And then the Angels, I think they've got a real shot.
Definitely going to be better.
Yeah, and the Diamond, like they play some groups. This, to me, is at least an advantage because without Buster Posey in the middle of that lineup, the Giants are a completely different team.
Well, it's another one of those things you look at and you go, well, the Astros win again.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I hate to be that way, and I hate to say that the Astros are going to benefit from the Giants' struggles, but there's no doubt about it. The Astros are benefiting.
Yeah, that team they should take advantage of. They should be. I'm just saying, whenever those matchups – like, how did they play 5-6 times? They should definitely win their share of games against the San Francisco Giants. All right, that's the Big 3 at 3 on a Fill Your Cup Up Friday, a Coors Light Fill Your Cup Up Friday. Get the Blue Mountains going today on a beautiful Friday. All right, there should be only one ego on this offense for the Houston Texans. I'll tell you who that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents a Coors Light Fill Your Cup Friday with Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, I got a feeling that this guy is going to be a real favorite on our show. Donald Zach Greinke.
Greinke, hadn't really seen Greinke.
Is that his real name or are you making it up?
No, it's Donald. Donald Zach Greinke.
Okay.
Donald Zach Greinke. Yes, he is. Okay. He spoke, and Adam Spillane just tweeted this out, our own Adam Spillane at 610sports.com. Listen to this.
Sportsradio610.com.
What did I say?
610.
Oh, that's my old place. Sportsradio610.com.
Hold on, show.
All right, this is what Adam Spillane of Sportsradio610.com, this is what he got from Zach Greinke. Greinke said he threw against a wall every day while at home during the shutdown. And in an ideal world, he'd be able to throw 150 pitches in his first start, but not sure how many pitches he could throw because it is less than an ideal world. I just want to know, did Zach throw 150 pitches in any game last year? Tyler has researched, and of course Tyler cannot come on the air and speak because we've not allowed him to yet. 108 is the most pitches.
108's the max?
Is the most pitches he threw in a game all last year.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Greinke don't look – I talked about effortless earlier with Justin Verlander, and it looks like he's given all-out effort, but it appears in effortless action. Greinke looks like it's an effortless action, and he could give a rip less how hard he's throwing it or anything else. He does not look like there's any effort whatsoever or any care whatsoever when he's pitching. So I imagine he could. If they said, hey, we need you to throw 150, hell, I imagine he'd be okay with it.
Whatever.
My question with that damn quote is, I mean, you're a future Hall of Famer. This dude, I think he's one of the highest paid in the league right now.
He is throwing against
the wall. What in the hell are you throwing against a wall for? You can't, wherever you're at, you can't find somebody to come catch you.
I can't play.
Like, hey, man, for look here, come through 3 days a week and catch a bullpen. I'll drop you a couple of G's every day. Come on, man.
I think he could have gone to the organization.
The organization got Dusty Baker flying commercial. I mean, let's be honest. Dusty Baker's doing his own. He's washing his own draws and flying commercial. Hell, I mean, let's be honest. I wouldn't bank on the Astros organization helping him out much.
He's throwing against. Can you imagine?
I mean, Greinke, look at that.
What kind of wall was it?
Greinke's making $30+ million a year. I think it's $34 million a year. Maybe
was he having a chase?
What the hell's he doing?
Like when he throw it, the ricochet. Is he then having to run and chase it down?
Surely it's a big net. It's not like wall ball. Did you play wall ball back in the day?
Oh, hell yeah.
Coach, Central Little League Park.
I played wall ball in the last 3 years.
Over in Pelly and Baytown, Central Little League Park. Coach, I got my ass tore up over there at Central Little League Park. We had a big old wall on the side of the concession stand, and we wore tennis balls out. And it's like they got me up there because, you know, you play wall ball, right?
Yes.
How do you play wall ball? I'm talking about wall ball where you throw it against the wall, and if you fumble it when you catch it, you got to go touch the wall before somebody picks it up and nails
you
with it.
Yeah.
And if they do, you got to stand up on the wall like Spider-Man. They get three of them get one throw at you.
It was. You get three throws, and you gotta dodge them, and then you can't come off the wall until. That's how we played.
We played it where you throw that ball off the wall, and if you bobble it and it hits the ground, you don't catch it clean.
You got to go stand at the wall.
You know, at that point, you run and you got to touch the wall before they peg you. If they peg you before you get to the wall, now I got to stand against the wall and let them get free throws at me as hard as they can. And we had some old hateful sumbucks, boy.
And you didn't have to dodge. You just had to take them.
You had to take them. You had to eat them.
No, that's not how you had to dodge. You had to dodge them.
Coach, I'd be so mad. Now you couldn't. Now you turned your. I turned my back so I didn't hit me in the face.
Dangerous.
Yeah, ain't no doubt. It was awful. I look back on it. I'm like, man, what? I mean, and I'm guilty. I mean, I got it done to me, but I was treated bad. And then when they got on that wall, I just tortured them jokers because I could throw harder than most of them.
I bet you could.
But there's a couple of them cats, man. Boy, they get me on that wall and stung my ass. It was awesome though. I couldn't wait to go back.
Several people on the text line saying they played that with you. They played that as well, Clint.
Ain't no doubt. Wall ball was a thing. Looking back, it was a torture tool back in the day.
Yeah, you're doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah, Central Little League Park, Pelly Park, baby.
Because you're up here talking about, surely he has a net.
Like, he's got to have something.
Really? All we've heard is, hey, man, Zach's just a different cat. So different that every day at home he's throwing a
ball. Well, we're going to have to get to the bottom of it.
I bet I just see him throwing it. Having to run to go get it.
He's a pretty accurate old boy, so I don't doubt he's. I doubt he's having.
You think it was coming right back to him?
I'm pretty sure he got a good solid brick. Solid concrete wall that he's throwing.
He is a gold glover, so maybe he's practicing his fielding.
Yeah, he's practicing his fielding as well.
Yeah, going all over the
place. You go. Work on the ground ball back to the pitcher. Okay, I see you, Greinke.
Or just have somebody there that you could play some damn catch.
Yeah, look here. You let me. He makes $35 million a year. $35 million a year. And you can't get a cousin that's in high school or the catcher at the high school wherever you live. You can't get that guy to come out and you pay him just pay him $1,000 a day, 3 days a week to come out there and practice. I mean, who wouldn't jump on that? Who wouldn't jump on 12 G's a month to go catch especially if you're a catcher. Who wouldn't jump on that?
Catcher, second baseman, anything.
Well, minor but Zach leaguer? Zach don't want no damn second baseman out there catching a bullpen.
He doesn't. He'd rather a wall.
I guess
his alternative
if it had two arms and a heartbeat, it'd be better than a wall, I guess. But no, I mean, it wouldn't be really wrong if I could find a catcher. Good gosh, Zach. I mean, against
Zach
the wall.
Zach decided this. And Zach feels like he thinks in an ideal world, he's going to be throwing 150.
No.
He can throw 150.
Appreciate you getting us that little nugget right there, that's Spolane. Right. Appreciate that, brother.
108 is the most he threw last year. Clint Sterner and the show. Clint, man, I'm looking at the potential of this offense, and I was listening to Wade the other day. He was in. He's done a great job for John Lopez in the loop with Landry. Wade was in, and he was talking about, man, I could really see this offense flourishing if everybody could just understand their role and understand there's one ball going around, but, hey, it's your role. You got to do this. Everybody's not going to be getting the ball all the time. And to me, it feels like this is a group that's ready for that. And to me, there's only one ego. I don't think there's anyone on this team that's going to be stepping out, Clint, with the, I should have the damn ball. The only person that I think should have that type of attitude is Deshaun Watson. And that's in terms of him being able, as you've been talking, get into the things that he wants to do, the sets he wants to run, the things that he feels most comfortable with. But everyone else, it should be egoless ball from the position player.
Yeah, I agree. I think you should hang your ego at the door. It's just unfortunate, though, and Wade knows better than anybody that it's – I mean, there are some serious egos in the league. And when you start talking about skilled players, whether you're talking about DBs or you're talking about receivers or running backs or quarterbacks, and nowadays these sexy tight ends running all over the field, I mean, there's egos, man. There's big egos. And here's the reality of it is – and this is one reason why – Belichick in New England, while they've been able to make it work, is Belichick makes sure that you check your ego at the door. Like, he doesn't leave you any room to have an ego or you won't be there.
You think Cam checked it?
Oh, well, I don't know about Cam. I'm talking about when Brady was there in terms of the receivers. I would think Cam is going to check it. Yes, I would definitely think that he's going to check it. But in terms of here, you know, the thing is can Bill O'Brien – Can he hold the guys accountable, the receivers accountable to that level? And I don't know why he couldn't, especially if you're going to make a move like you did with DeAndre Hopkins. You would think that would be one positive to pull from DeAndre Hopkins not being here, is you bring in guys that their egos better be checked at the door.
I look at this group, though, and I think that's the best part about it is, who is that guy? If this makes sense, Clint, I think you got a group of skilled guys that aren't delusional.
Yeah.
That don't – like, I don't think Randall Cobb is coming out and saying, man, I should get – this thing ain't came to me.
Sure.
In a possession. I need to have it. I don't think Will Fuller is that type of guy. Brandon Cooks definitely I don't believe is that type of guy. David Johnson should just be happy.
Well, I don't think they're going to – none of them are going to be that kind of guy until you get into a situation where you're four games deep into the season. Because we've all talked about the schedule this year. If they start the season and it is the schedule that we know, the seven of the first eight games are monsters, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be some adversity. And so it's easy to sit here today, and it's going to be easy to sit here in the first two or three games and guys be happy that they're part of the team and you get to play with Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil and the expectations are good. But when it gets real is when you're 1-3 and everybody's talking bad about you. And what the play caller and this the creator the play calling is not what you think it is, and you're a receiver and you're not getting touches. All of a sudden, you get vocal about how come we ain't calling these plays to get the ball over here. What you're calling ain't working. That will happen, and that's the reality of adversity and what it causes. The question is, can Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly did they build this group in a way that they can handle and weather that adversity? You know Belichick's guys are going to weather. In fact, that's one reason why they win so often and have for so long, is they weather those storms better than anybody. It's easy to sit here right now and talk about, oh, yeah, group of guys, they all hang their ego at the door. Man, when the mess hits the fan.
You played in the league. You ever see a guy that you're like, oh, he's cool, and then catch you off guard that ego came out? Have you ever seen that? Like a guy that, like, you, hell, I know Michael Irvin's got an ego.
Yeah, Mike's got an ego. But Mike was a team first guy. I didn't play with Mike, but Mike was around a lot when I was there. But Mike was a team first guy. Sure, he wanted the ball, but Mike was a guy that he understood if there was two safeties on the roof and it was a light box, Emmitt Smith was going to get he should get the ball.
Yeah.
And Mike would be the first one to tell you, what in the hell are we doing? Run the rock, give it to Emmitt Smith. Vice versa. I mean, when I personally experienced it was in the Arena League. We had a group in Dallas, my first year in Arena League. It was the most talented group of guys I've ever played with in terms of of your peers. Like in the league, and when I was in Dallas, you know, we had Darren Woodson, we had Joey Galloway, we had Rocket Ishmael, we had Emmett. We had some good players, but when you looked across the ball, when you were up against a really good team, you weren't as talented as they were. You knew it really quick. When I was in the Arena League, man, we had a group of guys. We should have won it all the year I was in Dallas before I got traded to Nashville. And we had guys that, boy, it was gravy in camp, boy. We're going to be great. We're spinning the ball around the park. Coach can control what we're doing during practice, make sure everybody gets touches. And you get in a game, and they take one guy away by the coverage that they play. Boy, that dude at halftime's giving it to us. Throw me the ball. What the hell are y'all doing? Kind of cool play? And, you know, and you just can't. There's a reason why those guys aren't in the league. You know, yeah.
I'd be surprised. Maybe Will Fuller is the one. I'd be surprised if Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb just snaps off. Because that just
They strike me as mild manners guys. So yeah. I agree with you.
You know what I mean? David Johnson might flip. Okay. No, he should. He's just happy to have a gig. Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium Network, is going to join us with all the craziness that's happened in college football. And the move the Big Ten made, will that affect the SEC and the Big 12? We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents A Coors Light. Fill Your Cup Friday with Clint Stern and the show.
Fill Your Cup Up Friday, Clint Sterner. Coors Light, Fill Your Cup Up Friday, Clint Sterner and the show. And with everything that happened yesterday, Clint, with the Big Ten stepping out and just stating we're not playing any non-conference games in terms of fall sports, that includes football. It was a crazy day in college sports. Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium Network, joins us. We thank you for joining us, Brett. And I'm curious, I'm not necessarily surprised that the Big Ten made this decision. Are you surprised how quickly they made the decision? Do you feel like they still had maybe some time to really look at things and evaluate things before they went ahead and made this decision?
Yeah, I mean, I reached out to dozens of folks in college athletics yesterday, and it was not a surprise that the Big Ten made this decision. It was a big surprise, though, that the decision was made yesterday. The expectation was the Big Ten was going to announce this next week. And there were some that hoped that the Power Five as a group could actually come out and make an announcement on what the plans were overall for the upcoming college football season. So this caught a lot of people off guard. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people, and nobody really knows why the sense of urgency for getting this out yesterday was. And then, you know, 30 minutes ago, ACC Commissioner John Swofford said that they hope to have their scheduling for the football season figured out by the end of July. And that's pretty much the timeline I think everyone expected. You know, sources told me that they expect the ACC to go to a conference-only format that may or may not include a plus-one non-conference game. But, yeah, as far as the Big Ten, the news, not surprising, but the timing of it, very, very surprising.
Brett, what do you, in your opinion, what is a reason? I don't know if it's the reason, but what's a reason to jump the gun?
A reason, which, you know, if you want to play all these conspiracy theories, which everyone loves, the Big Ten does not appreciate the SEC and the ACC only playing 8 conference games. While the other leagues, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 all play 9 conference games, so it's kind of like, you know, well, you guys won't play the same number of conference games as we will. So okay, well, here you go. We're going to go ahead and announce this on our terms and not on your terms. That's somebody floated that to me. That could be 1,000% accurate, inaccurate, but you know, who knows? Again, it's just. It is surprising on why the urgency to get that out instead of what, you know, look, if that's your decision, that's fine. It just caught a lot of people by surprise that they would come out and make this decision so early when pretty much everybody involved in college athletics for the last 3 months has targeted the end of July or August 1st for the definitive drop dead date when we want to announce everything. Because again, we don't know how much things will change in 3 weeks. Just think how things were 3 weeks ago and how much everything has changed.
Yeah, well, look, when a Power Five comes out and does something like this, obviously we want to talk about the marquee games that aren't going to happen, that we're not going to get to see, and maybe how it impacts the 8 games versus the 9 games, and the problems that have always been fodder during the college season. But in reality, man, the ones that, I mean, it's backbreaking to your smaller schools that really depend on those paydays from the Power Five, the bigger schools, right? I mean, how are they going to weather this storm if all conferences end up doing something similar?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be very challenging. And, you know, Group 5 ADs told me, it can be devastating. I mean, you've got, you know, the Big Ten plays a large number of teams from the Mid-American. Bowling Green had 2 games scheduled against Big Ten teams. They're going to lose over $2 million because of that. And that's huge. The USF is scheduled to play at Texas. If the Big 12 goes to conference-only format, you know, they were supposed to make $1.9, almost $2 million on that one game. So then that paycheck's out the door. And again, all these Group of Five teams, as you guys know, they don't have the monster TV deals that the Power Five leagues have. They don't have the huge attendance numbers and the gate, the donations, et cetera, that the Power Five schools have. So it is substantial when you get $1 million or more to play a game, and you've budgeted that money in for all of your different costs you've had for the coming years. You've looked at your future schedules and said, well, we're getting $1 million this year from playing at this school. We're getting $1.3 million for playing at this school next the following. And now that money's gone. These are going to be struggling times and tough times. And that's why you've already seen a number of Group of Five programs that have already eliminated some non-revenue sports. And I'm afraid if we have an abbreviated football season or no football season at all, you're going to see 10 times that many.
Brett McMurphy, is with us here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And Brett, with what happened with the Big Ten yesterday, and you talked about the ACC a little bit, do you think with that move, the other Power Five conferences felt pressured at all by the move that the Big Ten made?
I don't think they feel pressured at all. I think the Pac-12 pretty much for a while has been their preference has been conference only. What it does though is it kind of boxes everybody into a corner. So if you take the Big Ten out of the mix, you take the Pac-12 out of the mix, and to the three remaining Power Five conferences, if they want to play non-conference games, and make no mistake, they want to play exclusively Power Five non-conference opponents. And the big reason is those schools have the necessary resources to do multiple tests of student athletes, where the smaller Group of Five schools don't necessarily have the financial means to do that. And so they don't want to take the chance of playing a school that doesn't have the same safety or health guidelines. Again, whether that's accurate or not, that's their mindset. And so now basically you're limiting the number of schools they can play out of conference. And so it gets real tricky. And specifically with the SEC and ACC, there's 4 in-state rivalries between the SEC and ACC: Georgia, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Kentucky, South Carolina, Clemson, and Florida, Florida State. Obviously, all of those schools want to play those games, but that's a non-conference game. So if you do that, then the other schools in your league would have to find a non-conference game. And that's not going to be that simple, especially because the ACC is going to help out Notre Dame with how many games they need. So you can't just simply have the ACC, SEC have all 14 schools face off, because now you've got Notre Dame in the mix. They're going to play additional games. You can't simply go to the Big 12 because the Big 12 plays 9 conference games. So do they want to go to a 10th game? That's kind of what makes this thing so tricky. And getting back to the Big 10, why it caught everybody off guard by them making this announcement is because the other leagues are still trying to figure out how to make this thing work, and that's what really caught everybody off guard.
Brett, you mentioned Notre Dame there briefly. What, I mean, what do they end up doing? I'm assuming they're the strong ACC ties. That would make sense there. But how do they make it all make sense with Notre Dame?
Well, I talked to ACC Commissioner John Swofford last month and asked him specifically if we get to a conference-only format down the road, would you guys help out Notre Dame? And he said, absolutely. If they need additional games, we'll help them out as much as they want. So if you've got all the other Power Five leagues not playing non-conference games, then that means Notre Dame's going to need games. And so the ACC schools would play Notre Dame. They've already got six games scheduled against Notre Dame this year. If Notre Dame needs two, three, four, whatever the number is, they'll figure that out. And then obviously they have to balance out the rest of the league. So I think Notre Dame will play, no question, they'll play a majority of ACC schools this year. And possibly they could play exclusively ACC opponents this season.
Brett, I'm curious from you because this I saw the Big Ten commissioner say this yesterday and say, hey, this is the natural first step to just go to only conference games. Is there a legit real fear that this is just the first domino and that it may just go to a point where not only will it not be conference games, but there's a legit chance that there's just no games played in college football this year?
Yeah, I mean, they basically said that. You know, they said, you know, we think, mentioned earlier about the non-conference playing teams from different conferences, if you're playing teams exclusively from your own conference, then you can control and make sure everybody has the same health and safety guidelines. So everything's apples to apples. There's no misunderstandings. There's no, you know, you're set. He did mention, he said, yeah, you know, this is what we want to do. You know, that is if we have a college football season. In the past few months, I've done a number of stories for Stadium where I reached out to all 130 FBS athletic directors and asked them their thoughts on the upcoming season. Back in April, I asked them, you know, what they thought would happen in the upcoming college football season. Only one of the athletic directors told me they thought there would not be a football season in the fall or spring in April. Last week, I did the same survey. 8 ADs told me that. I think that's pretty significant because even though it is an anonymous poll, I don't ID the voters, they do know that these results are going to get out and other people are going to see it. So if 8 people are ready to admit that they don't think there's going to be a season, there's probably 3 or 4 times that many that probably think that, but they're just not going to vote that way because they want to be positive. So yeah, I'm afraid there's a real chance we don't have a season. And I guess the simplest way, and maybe this is for me on why I don't think ultimately we're going to have a season. And this is not a political statement. This is not saying anybody's right or wrong. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. If whoever deems it safe or not safe determines it's not safe for students to come back on campus and take classes on campus, then how is it safe for to have football student athletes playing football? Either both should be safe or either both should be unsafe. And so that's why I think ultimately we end up not having it, because these university presidents make the decision. Most of the time, these folks are not risk takers. And so I think they're going to err on the side of caution. And I think, like we've seen a lot of the Ivy League, the National Junior College Association, you guys would know this better than me. I saw that it looks like the state of Texas isn't going to play high school football this year. I mean, I covered Odessa Permian for 2 years. So I know how important high school Texas football is. Forget the SEC and the Big 12 and the Big 10. If the state of Texas is not playing high school football, then we've got a serious, serious issue on our hands.
Yeah. I know my partner over here is losing it. Brett, thank you so much for the information, and we appreciate you stopping by with us.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Brett McMurphy, college football insider over at Stadium, and that is the interesting thing. Like, if the students aren't coming back to go to class, that's a hard sell, right?
Well, it's hard to separate the two, I guess. It's hard for me and you to sit here and go, well, how in the hell does it make sense to bring guys back and put them all together, living on campus, traveling, practicing together, and then doing classes, you know, doing all those classes online from on campus, and other students not being there on campus in classrooms together. It's hard to separate the two for me and make one make sense if the other one doesn't. So I get where they're coming from, but you know the almighty dollar, and you know that's going to play a huge part here. And when it's all said and done, you cannot have a football season without teams at their facilities. Their facilities are on campus. I would imagine that if there's a way to do it, whether students are or are not in camp on campus in class, I don't think has anything to do with it.
You don't. You think they would still play anyway?
I think they'll find a way to play. If it's safe for them to be there and be on campus and be taking classes in their dorm room, so to speak.
Online, but not.
And then their coaches are responsible for, and the football programs, athletic programs are responsible for their well-being in the football facility. I would imagine there's a distinct difference between the liabilities that are associated with going and sitting in a classroom next to random students from all over who aren't required to test, who are just walking in with masks on. I would imagine there's a large distinction there. It's easy to distinct one from the other in terms of the liability aspect of it.
See, I'm listening to him thinking about he said there could be a way there's no college football season due to that. I think about a place like your alma mater, what it would be like if there was no college football this season.
Oh, it's the state thrives off of it. It's all it's there.
That's what I'm saying. Like the money aspect of those businesses and things like
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's
killer, man. I mean, hell, look, it's one of them deals where, I mean, if there's no college football season, I don't get to go do my TV gig, too, so I need it, man. I put that paper in my pocket, man. Come on.
Let him do his TV
gig. Yeah, come on, man. Get it right.
That, man. More than just watching.
About that money.
About that cash. Clint, I've been spending a lot of time at the airport about the last week or so.
Yeah.
Do you think we understand that we just innately do this? Everybody, it seems to be, makes a point to represent where they're from at airports. Have you ever noticed, next time you go to an airport, notice how many people have a place where you see where they're from, the hat,
right,
the everything. It's like I was sitting there leaving. I had a layover in Dallas, and it was coming here. Every single person got on. Houston Rockets, Astros cap.
Yeah.
A&M. I mean, I was like, does everyone get up? And then I looked at myself, and I was dressed, and I had a Kansas City hat on. I went, yeah. Like, is that what everyone does? Do we get up and just say?
Hey, I got one of my boys. I mean, it's like every day. Like, it don't matter if he's going to work, church, baseball. It don't matter where he's going. He's got something with the state of Texas on. And he lives in Arkansas now. But it's a shirt, hat. I mean, something on him has the great state of Texas on it somewhere, somehow, some way. If you run into my boy Mark, you're gonna know Mark got some Texas blood.
It's the craziest thing. I feel like everybody gets ready. I'm going to fly. I'm going to the airport. Where's my gear at? There's my gear.
Let me represent.
I mean, I counted. I said every last one of these people. There's a Texans hat. Just represent. And I said, hell, I'm doing it too. You don't know where we from. All right, coming up, get your football fix as you do at this time each and every day. Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.